Time to talk many things, some hoops, some football, some baseball, and that trifecta covered by our next guest. Find his work in the sports section of the Register Guard, registerguard.com, ducksports.com, on Twitter. It's at @SteveMims_RG. Steve Mims, how are things?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. I've heard from some folks the last day or so asked if I'd seen your piece on the passing of a legendary local coach, Coach Roach. I did. I mean, he was a coach at Churchill when I got to Eugene 29 years ago. And at age 72, he passed on the 11th of April. Your piece, really personal, terrific read. What would be some of the things that come to your mind when you think of Coach Roach?
Well, as a coach, it would certainly be, you know, there was a man-to-man defense that he just insisted his guys were in your face, and they were pretty low-scoring games, a motion offense where they'd pass it around and wait until they got a good shot, and real disciplined teams, and, you know, when they went to Portland, they always ended up playing for a trophy and twice knocked off a PIL team to win a state title. But after he retired, he became kind of a friend of mine, and he invited me out a couple times to go golfing with them out at Springfield Country Club, and he was as old school as he was as a coach. He showed up at the country club, and he had a cooler of beer and a cigar in his mouth and welcomed you in, and it was about as fun a guy as you could have a day of golf with. His personality was just outstanding, and I was fortunate kind of during the last 10 years to get to know him a little bit like that. So that was a hard piece for me to write. John was a friend of mine, and like I say, I covered him for about 4 years and then became a golf buddy of his for about the last 10, and I've known for about the last year that things weren't going well, and I was going to have to write that story at some point, but it was unfortunate that you hate to see somebody, especially at age 72, just seem so young for a guy like him who's so full of life to pass away.
Yeah, that's just heartbreaking, and, you know, definitely sorry for your loss. But this weekend, what's on tap? Because it's going to be a big turnout as they honor him.
Yeah, no, they've reserved Matt Courts, so that tells you they're expecting a few people there. It may not be the 9,867 they used to sell out for basketball, but yeah, I think that you take just the list of, you know, friends he and family he had, and then you add in all the coaching comrades that he worked with, and 20 years of players, and many of them he remained close to. I think there may be a couple thousand people who show up on Sunday at MacArthur Court, and I think they got 5 or 6 speakers going to get up there, and I think it'll be a real nice recollection of his life. I know I'm looking forward to going and being a chance to kind of get past the sadness of it and hopefully be a chance to hear people talk about him and have some laughs and smiles.
We're talking with Steve Mims of the Register Guard. The Oregon baseball team, they're down south. In general, we knew this was a big season for Coach Horton. 23-19 overall, 8-10 in league. Obviously, it's a power league, so finishing strong helps. But I guess kind of describe where they are as far as the shot making it back to a regional, because, you know, down to the final 4 series and 3 non-conference games.
Yeah, you know, 2 weeks ago, it was still, I mean, they were in most bracket projections, and then they got swept by Stanford, which, you know, Stanford's good. You'd like to have gotten one of those. But then going down and dropping 2 out of 3 at Cal, they lost a non-league to San Jose. They're kind of back into that long shot projection. For them, they do still have UCLA and Oregon State at home, which are, you know, number 1 and number 4 teams in the country. So if they could go down to Arizona, win the series, get 2 out of 3, you know, then you can come home. You can, you know, there's a path to the postseason, but it probably includes at this point, you know, having to take series, almost win all the rest of the series, and that would include, again, 2 of them against top 5 teams.
The frustrating irony, I guess, this year is that the bats have come around. I mean, you know, not the station-to-station offense we've seen, but then the injuries and issues with the pitching, whether it be Kenyon Jovan or Robert Ahlstrom, are they healing up and, you know, maybe getting some arms back at a critical time?
Yeah, I think Jovan may be able to come back in another week or two, but, you know, that was just a killer for him. That's arguably one of the top 10 starting pitchers in the country, and he throws 2 innings in the first game, and, you know, you're used to, like, shoulders and elbows. I mean, his literally has just been a hand that got blood clots, and then once that kind of went away, he had some numbness in the tips of his fingers. I mean, it's just been bizarre injuries that have kept him out all year. I know he's thinking he could probably be back in a couple weeks, but the question is, you know, I mean, do they have to probably start him out in kind of limited use in the bullpen? I don't think that you'll get a point this season where maybe he can come back and give you a start, but you might be able to get him out of the bullpen. And then, yeah, I mean, Ryan Nelson got hurt, and They moved him to the bullpen. They've kept him there. And Robert Ahlstrom, who kind of took over the Friday spot, got hurt. So basically the top three guys they were going to count on the mound this year have all been injured. And like I say, the best guy's been out for his own two innings all year, so that's just been kind of a pressure for him.
As far as hoops, the announcement that came this week, 20 Pac-12 games instead of 18, my first thought was, well, better two games against power conference opponents than, you know, a directional school. And sometimes Nick and I play big deal, little deal, no deal. What's your thought on this change?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how they implement it. You know, they're talking about these games being in November or December, which, you know, that kind of can drive coaches a little bit nuts. You know, they like to, I think, kind of being able to have the full, you know, 2 months of non-conference before you worry about now if all of a sudden you sneak in an early conference game if you're not ready for that, or, you know, your team hasn't come together quite a bit. It could put you in a little bit of a hole. I think, again, it'll be interesting to see. They, you know, there's talk that those two are going to be one home and one away, so it could sort of be like, you know, you go to Utah and then you come home and face Washington type deal, which is obviously different than what the Pac-12 is used to doing. So I think it'll be interesting to see how they implement it, but I agree. I mean, anytime you can get, you know, two more Pac-12 teams and take Texas Southern and, you know, Hofstra or something like that off your schedule, it's going to help you. And now if you're down, that takes you down to like 10 or 11, you know, non-conference games. And if you're in a major tournament, that normally takes up three of them. So then you're only looking for kind of two more major ones to get you, you know, to 20-25 real quality opponents. So I think it'll help coaches, but I do think that in the early part of it, you're going to see some having a hard time worrying about kind of getting ready for Pac-12 play maybe a couple weeks sooner than they thought.
It seems this is now part of doing business, but another offseason, two more transfers, Victor Bailey, who played 4 minutes against Wisconsin, one against UC Irvine, did not play in the finale against Virginia. Miles Norris is gone. So are we surprised anymore if guys like this leave? Or I guess as Austin Meek wrote, role players, well, they want a bigger role.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. I mean, you just, and, you know, for a guy like Bailey, I mean, right now they have Pritchard, Duarte, and Will Richardson scheduled to come back. I mean, there's plenty of minutes there for him next year, you would think. I mean, I know he's got a favor this year, but Dane Altman pretty clear, hey, we got some things to work on in the offseason. We want him back, and he'd be back in that role. But now you go somewhere, you have to sit out a year. I mean, who knows whatever team you pick, what their roster is going to look like. It almost feels like sometimes these guys are just chasing rosters. You know, you're trying to find out where, you know, where's the spot I can play, and if you don't play right away, you move on. And then, like I say, by the time you sit out of here, that team that you've gone to can change. So I think some of these guys just get caught up in trying to chase it and try to find, you know, where's going to be the ideal spot for me, rather than just saying, hey, look, if this guy recruited me, he likes me. If I sit here and work hard, I can develop a role. And maybe, you know, I think Miles Norris next year would have played a bigger role, and then the year after that, you know, but just nobody's really patient and kind of looks at it that way anymore. It's absolutely the way of college basketball is. You know, Oregon State's had, I think, three people leave this offseason. It's everywhere right now. And it's almost predictable. At the end of the year, you grab the roster and say, all right, well, who's going to want to leave? And the first two you would have looked at would have been Bailey and Norris, and 2 weeks later, they're gone.
Unbelievable. A couple final thoughts for Steve Mims of the Register Guard. As far as Duck football, this is a general question, but you've seen every player come through here since Rich Brooks, and it's not just Kayvon Thibodeau. I mean, this staff, they get after it recruiting-wise, and Steve, I get it'll get proven on field, but is it accurate to say it just seems like they're bringing in a different-looking kind of true freshman that were once kind of rare here, like definitely a higher level?
Yeah, and I think that may be going on around the country. Just, I think kids in high school are getting themselves more ready to go now. And, you know, by the time they're sophomore year, they're getting offers from colleges, and they know, hey, I got to start bulking up now. So I definitely think the guys, you know, it's no longer the kid who arrives on campus and says, all right, well, now I'm going to start lifting weights and getting into shape for college. I mean, that's a little late at that point. I think Oregon and everybody's kind of got the trend to where, you know, they talked about, you know, some of the kids who didn't get here, the true freshmen next year who weren't here for spring practice, they're sending them tapes of their practice so they can monitor what they're doing in practice. So by the time they arrive here, they know what they're doing. They, I'm sure, are sending them weightlifting programs to mirror what they're going to be doing here. So I think almost by the time you sign your letter of intent, the school is getting in touch with you. Hey, this is what we expect from you by the time you get on campus.
Amazing. We live in a different world. And lastly, I know you and Austin talked about the draft on the Duck Pod, and folks, you could find it on Steve's Twitter feed. But be it the order, or Hollins to Denver, Amadi to Seattle, Mitchell to the Vikings, Jelks to Dallas, order, circumstance, where they landed, I mean, what stood out to you, I guess, for the quartet of Ducks and where they got drafted?
Yeah, I thought, you know, the surprise to me probably would have been Jelks, but I think kind of his senior year maybe kind of dropped him off the radar maybe than some of us realized. I would have thought he'd have been a third, fourth-round guy. Amadi went a little bit higher than I would have expected, but again, when you're dealing with, you know, a safety, that's sort of, you know, each person has their favorite. Each coach is going to be looking for something, so obviously Pete Carroll found something he liked there. It's hard to project, you know, where a safety is going to go. Same thing with Hollins-type deal. I do think it's interesting. Hollins went, you know, Vic Fangio is the head coach now at Denver, and he's a friend of Jim Levitt, so it seems pretty confident that he would have called Jim Levitt and gotten a recommendation, and so that probably helped Hollins out there. And, you know, Dylan Mitchell, I mean, seventh round, we'll see if he makes the roster. You know, if he doesn't make that roster, that goes down as, you know, one of the great big what-ifs in Oregon football history. If, you know, what if this team had Dylan Mitchell next year? If all these guys fighting to be the number one were fighting for the number two and on down the line, and maybe even Mitchell, you know, with another big year under Herbert, could have suddenly been a third, fourth-round pick next year instead of a seventh round. So, you know, it's tough. Those guys declare, and you're kind of guessing where you're going to go. I'm sure he thought he'd go higher than the seventh-round pick, but we'll see if he makes the roster. But like I say, if not, I think that really becomes, wow, what could have been if he'd have come back for another year, both for him and the team.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Folks, he is Steve Mims of the Register Guard. Online, registerguard.com, ducksports.com. On Twitter, Steve_Mims_RG. Steve, I really appreciate your time. I know you got a lot going on, and thanks a million, my friend, for joining us.
Thanks. Maybe I'll see you over at Traxtors tomorrow, Steve.
Yeah, I'm looking. It's my 25th anniversary since the last time I won the Derby, so something's got to give. Hey, thanks a lot, Steve.
All right, you got it.
Steve Mims of the Register Guard, and we're covering the trifecta. Yeah, you see how I tied that in of baseball, basketball, and football. We'll take a break. Live from the Pine Ridge Golf Club, it's their grand opening. We'll be back and we'll wrap up Crunch Time with the Tool Shed next. 95.3 The Score.